putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
At which point we normally say, Cameron Tilbury, what's the weather like in Nashville? Well, be patient because we have to wait an hour before we can find out that exciting news. I know you could probably use your portable device and find out beforehand, but where would the excitement and surprise be as far as that's concerned? We may be going to Jersey and Anna Lewis, that's assuming she answers her telephone, but especially for Tessa Snart, who requested this two or three weeks ago. Absolutely splendid.
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
That would be you then, Anna Lewis.
Afraid so.
Yay! Now, hopefully that didn't actually bring back too many unhappy memories or sad times, because when Tessa Snart had actually requested that a matter of weeks ago, we said, sorry, we've got lots of Glen Campbell stuff in the system, but not Rhinestone Cowboy, because we kind of retired that purely and simply because of your budgerigar, who used to sing along to it. Your budgerigar, and of course, Kenna Zarebski. I don't know. It's a strange, but Kenna, you actually said you don't know how you knew the words to that song, but you did.
I remembered now. Mm-hmm. It's of a film.
It's a generational thing, isn't it, this? It's like certain comedy programmes that we know, Alex, because that's our generation.
Of our generation, exactly.
Like, you know, who was Dick Emery, for example.
You are awful. But I like you.
I like you, yeah.
Exactly. All those greats that I'm sure are sort of still... YouTube, of course, manages to cross the generational divide. People can use that technique to find out who Dick Emery was. Let's just test the TV, because they both did Origins of Modern Britain back as part of their university degrees doing journalism. By the way, Anna, would you like to congratulate both Kenna and Catherine, who both got first-class honours in journalism?
Oh, my, congratulations. Well done, you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, excellent. Oh, how good is that? That's fantastic. When's the graduation ceremony? When's that happening?
Wednesday the 7th of September. Yeah.
September. Oh, that's not too far away, is it, really?
No, it's exciting.
And, of course, it does mean that if they turn around and say, well, where's Alex? Not that they want me to be there in any case. I'll be here doing a show. There we are.
So
you can come down and see me. Yeah, who knows what can happen. Okay, so great news for us, because also well done to Emma Tenson, as we've said. And, I said all these well done's are good, actually. So Claire Margerish, and she also has graduated. And, indeed, it's her birthday as well. So there we
go. Oh, happy birthday. Brilliant.
And, meanwhile, in Jersey, they're celebrating by actually getting two pairs of glass and not being able to actually see either.
Oh, it's farcical, honest to God. I was wearing contact lenses today with reading glasses, just mental. Now, I've taken those off, and I'm actually wearing the duff glasses that Spocksovers gave me, which need adjusting. But I'm going on holiday tomorrow, and I can't see a blessed thing. So it's going to be hilarious. I might not end up going to my destination at all at this rate.
You could become Miss Magoo. Mr. Magoo, of course, being a visually impaired chap character. Ken, have you ever come across Mr. Magoo?
I've heard of him.
Very strange. Actually, Catherine, you never actually heard Dick Emery either, presumably.
Oh, I have.
Have
but
you?
I can't.
But not in the context.
Yeah, probably not in the context.
Anyway, what is the weather like in Jersey, Anna Lewis?
Do you really want to know? It is chucking it down. It is so depressing. It's unbelievable. It is the most miserable, miserable day for a long time. But we did have a lovely Saturday, which was nice, because we had an international dance team, from several nationalities, come over, and they did a street parade, which was exquisite. It was such a nice day. And I'm so glad for them, because they paraded for a good hour up and down our main high street, and it wouldn't have been fun if it had been chucking it down like today.
Absolutely. And the public, and indeed the growing band of Anna Lewis fans, wish to know, will you be throwing your hat in the ring to actually take over from either Roy Hodgson, Jeremy Corbyn or David Cameron in the near future?
Well, we don't have that sort of politics in Jersey. Oh. Ours is a bit of a Daffy Duck situation in Jersey with our politicians. They're all a bit stupid, really. But we watched with awe and shock and horror, because my colleague and I feel very European, and we just felt very gutted that that they didn't stay in. But
when you say they didn't stay in, obviously, you know, already you're referring to them and us. Let's try and build this holistic scenario. It's not like the Eurovision Song Contest, of course. It doesn't happen every year. But maybe it should. Maybe that's what it should. Maybe this is the sort of sign where we could actually have a referendum on an annual basis.
You know, well, I think they've expended enough energy and gnashed enough teeth. I mean, it's worrying that the only contenders are faces that I don't recognise for the leadership.
The possibility of an outside bid from Donald Trump to take over leadership of the Conservative Party?
I thought he was aiming for the world rather than just America, then I'm afraid I'm not a great fan of his. I don't know anyone who is, actually, having said that.
And yet some people are voting for him. It's strange and weird, but never mind.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
Look at it this way. Catherine and Kenna are going out into this world as first-class honours graduates, so, you know, they'll be able to cope with this.
Let them bring some sanity in the world they live in, because there needs to be some sanity. Absolutely.
Kenna, any questions you want to put to Anna about life, the universe, what she did after graduating with her own honours degree in English to do master's work and a whole heap of other things before returning to the bosom of Jersey?
What did you do afterwards? What was one of your first goals after getting your degree?
Well, I'll be honest, the first thing I did after my first degree is I applied for a job at Dove Cottage in the Lake District. It's the house that belonged to Wordsworth, and they wanted a caretaker, and that's the first job I applied for. The second job, well, obviously I didn't get it, the second job I applied for was as an AIDS awareness person for the Wellcome Institute. And AIDS in 1984 was really, really, it was presented as a very homosexual thing. Mm. Nobody really understood it, and there was lots of scaremongering going on. And
it's a big iceberg, as far as I recall, Anna. A huge, huge, humongous iceberg.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? Wasn't that? I mean, it really was.
We're going to freeze to death. That's what's going to happen. We're going to freeze to death.
And there was the tombstone thing as well, which was really grim. They had this sort of collapsing tombstone for AIDS awareness and that kind of... It was all very kind of doom and gloom.
It's nice to see the Fear campaign was working in the 1980s just as well as the Fear campaign works in the teenies as well.
That's major for you.
And talking about tombstones, I've noticed on your Facebook page, Anna, heaps of photos in black and white of all manner of marvellous things. So pray tell, what are all these photographs focusing on?
Well, the ones I posted recently are rescues from a hard drive that my son managed to screw up. I ended up having to pay an IT man to rescue my hard drive that had about 300 photos on it of gravestones in a village in Italy where my ancestors come from. And they're all Zambons. If you look at those ones, you'll see that 9 out of 10 of them are...
Gregorio Gambon. 20th of July, 1891. Morto.
Gregorio is definitely related to me. I claim Gregorio.
I've never seen you with the moustache, it has to be said. But still, that's very good.
I mean, they have this morbid fascination with putting photographs on them, that's what I was going to say. So you get a kind of full front, and my grandparents are on there, and I never met them because they died well before I was born, But
well, you and me both, grandparents. You it worked from that sort of perspective. We have Gambon Gertrude and Zambon. Is this Geltrude?
Geltrude
Zambon.
Well, mine was Anna Cecchellin Zambon. Oh. She's my grandmother, and Giovanni Zambon Pinal he's mine as well. And I'm actually going there day after tomorrow, so I'm off to the village where my ancestors hail from.
Ancestors in Dardago, Italy.
Exactly.
Had I only actually read the strapline and caption, I would have appreciated what's going on from that perspective. Have you traced your ancestors back, Kenna? I mean, Zarebski, is that Eastern European?
Yeah, Polish.
Nice, good choice.
Yeah, my grandmother on my dad's side was Scottish, and she married my granddad, who was from Poland, and they met during the war. And he passed away when I was about 3 years old, so I don't really remember him much. But no, I haven't actually tracked down any of my ancestors, but Poland is somewhere I actually want to go for my birthday next year. This year, I should say. So, yeah.
Exciting. Do you know which part of Poland they're from?
I think it's actually... Oh, don't want to get it wrong.
Is it near Warsaw? Is it near Brest?
I think my mum actually mentioned that it might not be far from Warsaw, but I don't. None of my family are like shouting.
There's a concerto on that side, you know, from Warsaw to Nottingham. It's a strange and bizarre world. Good to see the Zarebskis. Wonderful. And if indeed Mr. Zarebski is listening in, because you never know where these radio waves go to these days. Hearty well done, sir. Congratulations on your granddaughter. He's sure he's very proud. Very proud. You sort of met when you were three. What about yourself, Catherine Morton? I mean, a good solid-sounding British name there. Are you going to sort of say, no, I actually am from South Africa?
Well, I have been told by my family that I have Welsh, French and Irish in me. My nan is Welsh. she often tells me how to pronounce the very long train station in Wales. I only know the end. Go, go, go. Yeah, go, go, go. But, I've been told I've got French and Irish on my dad's side as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, obviously, we're all going to have to leave the country in a few years' time. Sorry, I won't make any more political points, honestly, on that basis. But, it's just a mood point for that sort of side of things. The tombstone thing is quite interesting. I mean, I suppose these days, if you're cremated, you probably wouldn't have that opportunity of actually leaving photographs, so you just hopefully rely on the hard drive.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what is funny. I met a lady on the bus whose husband had his ashes cremated near a dolmen. Now, those of you who are archaeologists will know that dolmens are these kind of stone monuments, like a bit like Stonehenge, but they're not quite as glamorous or large. But his ashes were scattered, and they had an exact GPS positioning of his ashes. But I find that quite disturbing. We do get asked a lot about scattering ashes in places that are beautiful, and I suppose there's no harm done, but...
And by the very nature of being scattered, that GPS will have actually gone out of date within seconds of it actually going about, though,
wouldn't
it, really?
Yeah, you can't really sort of tag it and say which bits have gone where.
Outrageous!
Can you really?
she knew
that, you know, exact... Well, yeah. It just seemed a really odd thing to know, but she was obviously very kind of faithful to his wishes about being cremated and having his ashes scattered in a particular... place.
Football pitches are very important for ashes to be scattered. Witness, obviously, Nice. I mean, that's going to be a place where Roy Hodgson's ashes will probably be scattered. Yeah, lots of sort of lines from that perspective. It sounds a little bit morbid just after you've graduated, but Kenna, would you prefer to be buried or indeed cremated?
Buried. Yeah. I'm not sure why, but buried, yeah.
Food for worms, always good. You know, and kind of cyclical side of things there, as Robert Williams would say. And Catherine?
I'm swaying towards the buried. It's disturbing that I thought about it at this young age. You have to. You have to.
That and life insurance, let's face it, key things, you know. Now you've got your first degree out of the way, that's it. You know, it's on to the life insurance and more, clearly. Pension plans, clearly. We'll be talking about that tomorrow morning, actually, 8:30. Anna has been a little bit more expanded than normal, so we thank Cameron for obviously doing his Facebook message on Nashville Access. He's going to join us on the second hour. But... Kenna's going to put those last two questions to you.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
I have indeed. Thank you very much.
And will you be joining us again?
I will, but not next week, I'm afraid, because I'll be trekking somewhere in a mountain range somewhere, probably. So the week after, I will be back in Blighty. So, yes, that will be fine.
Hooray! latest wonderful text from ace author and indeed wonderful round therapist Christine Weber. I'm almost tempted to say Renaissance woman in so many ways. Christine, great to touch base with your good self. I'll be honest to start off with.
Yes.
Initially, when we looked at the brief and so on, I thought,
yeah,
I'm not sure whether I'm actually quite in the target audience for this. And I thought, okay, 15, 20 pages, I wasn't sure. But then actually, once I got to page 21, read it in a day, absolutely sensational. Well done, Christine.
Oh, gosh.
Really, really good.
Alex, coming from you, that is really, really, really heartening. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I endorse what some of your Amazon reviewers have actually said. I just couldn't put this down. When's the next one? Whole heap of other goodies. Really great. I think the way in which you managed to balance out huge descriptions of character, and I think all of the characters were very well-rounded, including actually the males, even though it has to be said, Edward doesn't do himself any favours whatsoever.
He doesn't do much for mankind, does
I don't think so. Tubby, of course, well, yeah, we knew where he was going, but at least he actually had a role as a conduit to put Prue together with Annie. And the children worked very well. Curiously, it actually did seem to capture time that I'd spent in Cambridge myself back in the 80s, and I thought you managed to capture that particular area really well. So, hats off, and hopefully we'll put it up for one of our Book of the Month scenarios. But
That would be lovely. Well, maybe I could give you a couple of giveaways or something.
Well, it's Christina's. In fact, I enjoyed it so much, I immediately went to Kindle and purchased the latest edition of Get the Happiness Habit.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it's only true.
Well, maybe we could all do with that at the moment, with everything falling apart.
Well, this is so true because the first time the phrase "who'd have thought it" tended to burn into my own consciousness was when John Major literally just took over from Margaret Thatcher as the Premier of the country as Prime Minister. And I think the apocryphal tale said that when he glanced around his cabinet colleagues, his opening gambit was, well, who'd have thought it? But, you know, in today's post-Brexit world, when it seems that many folk are saying, I didn't realise what I was voting for, well, take responsibility, that's what I'd say. But it does seem as though you've echoed that. And inevitably, I've got to ask the question, will there be a post-Brexit sequel to The Adventures of Dr. Annie Templeton?
Well, now that's very interesting you should say this, because I think on Friday morning, when we woke up to this news, I just thought, I don't suppose there's a writer or a journalist anywhere who's not sort of thinking, how am I going to write about this? Because it is one of those seismic events.
Great artistic inspiration in many ways.
Well, isn't it? I mean, if you think about something like 9/11, it spawned a lot of movies and fiction and everything. And I was sort of thinking, I actually was thinking, the novel that I'm writing at the moment, which is not a sequel to anything to do with Dr. Annie and her friends, I thought, I don't think I can actually kind of ignore this. You know, I hadn't meant to write anything about real life in that way within that novel, but actually is about real life and five people sort of finding an odd connection between each other. And I think that, obviously, whatever way their mind worked over the referendum, it would have had an impact, but as we're all discovering, with friends or family who might not agree with our views and perhaps think we're being a bit extreme. I mean, I think on both sides there are people saying, well, you know, I don't understand how you could have voted that way. And I think that is happening in families, it's amongst friends and everything. So It has changed us very suddenly, and I think that will be reflected in a lot of people's books.
Well, returning to who'd have thought it, I'm always tempted to say that, well, at least we are actually now know who the Brexit campaigner would have been led by. Clearly, it would have been Mad Margaret.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yes, I think that probably...
Well, I mean, you know, the general practitioner who effectively heads the practice, who's prone to actually taking her undies down whilst en route to the toilet, an image which I think she'll remain with me, for good or ill from that perspective. It was interesting, I think you did rightly say, well, clearly such activities would probably be curtailed by the more bureaucratic world in which we live in the 21st century, at least one trusts they would be, because it didn't exactly sort of do well for a patient practitioner confidence, I would have thought.
No, I mean, I think You know, I don't know what her political views might have been. She might have been extremely left-wing, for
indeed.
All I know. But actually, I modelled her years ago. Years and years ago, and I'm sure this lady is long dead, so, and I'm not going to name her, but I taught in a South London comprehensive school for a while. I taught music. And there was an extremely clever academic who actually hated teaching, bless her, and she would turn up on the beginning of every term and say, only 12 weeks, 4 days and 36 hours or something until I can go back to Oxford, which is where she liked to live. Right. And she'd taken a brilliant degree at Oxford, and she'd never quite left it mentally. And she was like that. She was completely kind of antisocial, and she did used to lift her skirt and pull down her knickers on the way to the So that's seared into my brain. Well, it's about
Kelly, you're passing it forward. That's important. Passing it forward through the medium of fiction.
I know. Well, some things never leave you, Alex, do they?
The role and the story of Annie Templeton clearly is, as you've written about, very much a swafty from that point of view, single woman in her 50s, working through the processes there. It's actually one in which one could easily see Richard Curtis saying, that's going to be the subject of my next movie. May I
do you know, Alex, wouldn't it be very good if you could write to him and tell him that? That would be lovely.
It kind of just echoes it, because you got in terms of, obviously, both daughters. I mean, I was initially thinking, if I was casting it, because it's always a game, and I'll ask you a good self in terms of who you would actually see ideally playing on the roles. But I think possibly Eleanor Tomlinson, recently known, of course, for her role as one of the heroines in Poldark, as one of the daughters, and possibly maybe a younger Keira Knightley or somebody along those sort of lines.
Yeah,
for the other.
You're far further on with the casting process than me, quite clearly. No, these sound good ideas.
it's an interesting line. I mean, and Hugh Grant, I think, would probably actually make a fairly competent Jonathan. He would probably start in there. They're sort of slightly not
actually,
quite sure where he's going and so on.
Quite diffident.
Yeah.
And I could see that. Gosh, I wonder if I... Yes, well, anyway, interestingly, I know a filmmaker who has been aware of the book since its beginning and has told me repeatedly that he wants to make a film about kind of the turbulence of midlife and how it's changed and how different we are in midlife now compared with how our parents were and certainly our grandparents. So I'm going to pass on your casting tips to him then.
It even wraps at Christmas time. What better way to actually have a round robin scenario? That's wonderful stuff there. In terms of the sequence, I mean, I think there are other elements which come across where I sense the aspect of your good personal experience coming across from that whole thing. And I love the book club questions that put through that in terms of how much does the book reflect your life or that of friends and colleagues and so on.
Yeah.
But it is something which, you know, as with all great sort of fiction and narratives and so on, you could effectively look at the process. You can see whether you identify with any of the characters, how those things come together. And I think also the dangers and the challenges that are put forward, and also, without too many spoilers, the suggestion that one of the daughters who we think is going to be absolutely perfect in every way tends to go slightly off the rails.
I think,
or does
isn't
she?
That, well, ultimately, one has to make one's own choice about that, but certainly, you know, I think that for parents everywhere, they don't mean to have this, but they have a kind of blueprint, don't they, in their mind of how their progeny are going to turn out. And they also have very fixed ideas often about she's the sensible one or he's the, you know, uproarious one or whatever. And sometimes our kids just do the opposite and it kind of throws us. And I think that's very difficult. I think the other thread in the book that so many people have mentioned to me is about having a parent, you know, who's sort of out of it, really, either through dementia or whatever. And you've got to kind of delve into their life because you're clearing their house and finding out things about them. And I'm not, again, going to say what happens in the book, but sometimes we're very surprised by our parents, too, and what they've done during their lives. And sometimes that's very hard to come to terms with.
It's certainly in the description, obviously, of Annie's father, who, again, from the backstory, clearly had a very dynamic and positive life within the media and so on, and the changes that we get with that. And also, in a sense, possibly the importance of ensuring that there's still growth, there's still development there, and there's still some sort of connection that you can actually have, as opposed to losing things. Often you have to think about gaining things as well. All human life is quite literally defined and outlined within the whole process, including actually the love of going to the opera or ballet, effectively, from that point of view.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Who'd have thought it? By, of course, the legendary Christine Weber is available now online as well as actually in hard copy, so it's great stuff there. No excuse not to get hold of the whole thing. It's probably the ideal summer read, and as I say, you may well find, whatever your gender, that you think, it's not necessarily for me, stick with it. After the first sort of 20 or 30 pages, and you sort of start thinking, okay, because the opening sequence, where we actually have the reveal, if you say, you know, when it's all going apparently well in Venice, and it isn't, and it all collapses, I thought, I wasn't sure where you're going to take us, Christine. Were we going to go down Mills and Boone? Were we going to go down Barbara Cartland?
I was quite keen to establish, you know, what had happened, which I do, as you say, in the prologue. But then I really, as you know, fast-forward it until a little bit more than a year afterwards.
Sure.
Because I think there are a lot of books about women or men overcoming heartbreak, but it's, you know, there's a lot of gloom and doom in that. And I think that the more interesting story is how you start again, but how you realize that being single in your midlife is so completely different from when you're younger, because you've got, you know, a job, you've got adult children, you've got your aging parents, you've got friends going through things. And so most people, I think, in midlife go, gosh, I didn't know it was going to be as hectic as this, or gosh, I thought I'd have some time for me. And so against that backdrop, you're trying to have a life, you know. And I think it's tough, but challenging and good fun in many parts, and actually hilarious in parts as well.
It will make you laugh and cry often at the same time. I shall say nothing other than check out the internet dating scenario with the Rogers. Strong. This is obviously one of the reasons why the wonderful Max Pemberton had immense pleasure introducing the second edition of Get the Happiness Habit. Obviously, we need that as well. That's still available. Obviously, so is Who'd Have Thought It by Christine Weber. Christine, it's been fabulous touching base with your good self today. Actually, I think we probably, as we go over to Los Angeles and speak to Lily Holliman, she might well be up to doing a British accent as well. So she might also go into the casting list for Daughters and Daughters.
Oh, I'd love that. Yes. Give her my number.
Well, Christine, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
Do you know, I always have the best possible time with you, Alex, on your station. I just love it. It's marvellous.
Well, I have to say, I'm also very impressed with how you described the workings of a radio studio, including the very frightfully busy producer who effectively sort of wheels you in, puts you down as the expert, wheels you out again and so on. I've experienced that from both sides. Very apt.
It could
almost have been BBC Cambridgeshire, but still we are. Or another station. Christine, yes. I take it you'll return.
Absolutely, and do ask me any time. Thank you.
Wonderful. There we are, Christine Weber, and the book once again, Who'd Have Thought It? Tying in, of course, with that John Major classic. Now, last week, of course, Kenna and Catherine, your first ever Midweek Drive, officially. You broke the debut there. This week, gone on to glory in the fact that you have got first-class honours degrees. You graduated with first-class honours. As we said, the whole team, Emma Tenson and so on, will work through that basis. Meanwhile, up in Edinburgh, William Coles... That's his latest Facebook pose. He's sitting in the corner with a triangular hat with the letter D inscribed on it. Why do you think that might be, Kenna?
I wonder what the possibilities are there.
Catherine, why do you think that might... Why has he put it on Facebook? He's sitting in the corner with a triangular hat and D on it.
Maybe
not politically correct, really.
Wants the world to know that he's a bit of a dunce. You never know.
Why could that be, Bill Coles?
Are we sure that the D stands for dunce
delightful.
Delightful,
exactly.
Duh, you know, quite simply, in a sort of Simpson-esque moment. You know, let's not. D has got a large number of scenarios on that point of view. But it would seem that so far we've managed to cross the border, although I must admit, when Bill's son answered and said he's not here, I thought, this is where it starts.
Oh, yes.
This is where it starts. Welcome back, Bill. I suppose some might say, don't say things like keep smiling, because 52% already are, or not, as the case may be. Maybe it's the morning after.
Yes, of course I'm smiling. And the reason, of course, why I had that dunce's hat on is because I am a political pundit, and I've had great success in the last few years calling elections, calling the Scottish referendum. And so a couple of weeks ago...
There were so many people in Siren Land who actually had at least 24 hours of calm and peace when I spread the word if they hadn't been listening. So it's all right, don't worry. Bill Coles has said it's okay. It's Remain.
Yeah, well, it wasn't Remain, was it? And so I rather ended up with... egg on my face, and most pundits, when they end up with their egg on their face, they crawl under a rock. And I thought, no, I will go the other way and sit in the corner with my dunce's cap.
You're no Roy Hodgson. You know, you're no bottling English manager who decides to actually have his resignation thing already signed up and ready to go. Really, it's important. That's very... Anyway, moving on, as we do, effortlessly. Where do we go? I mean, where do we go with respect to that, Bill? Are you going to be throwing your hat into the ring, quite literally, to the Conservative Party challenge, the new Prime Minister, the opportunities for
Well, there are so many different things that could be occurring at the moment. I mean, could it be another old Etonian, Boris, who used to be in my English class at school, or Theresa, sort of micro Margaret Thatcher? Yes, and then will Corbyn manage to see off this challenge, and will the Labour Party split into two? All terribly exciting. Almost worth having a bet on.
Well, can you say that? It's not quite as worthwhile as the Leicester City bet would have been at the start of the season, but that's a sporting metaphor, which I suppose we don't want to get into at this particular stage. Kenna, are you worried about the future? I mean, you know, as I say, by the way, Bill, would you like to congratulate Kenna and Catherine for getting their first-class honours in journalism?
First-class honours degrees, that's incredible. I mean, you must have worked hard. Me, I worked incredibly hard, and I only got a 2-2 in divinity.
We worked a little hard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, so back to the question, Kenna. Is this something which you're fretting about now? Is the family fretting about it?
Straight to the point. My mum, she voted out, and I asked her why this was because I was actually shocked at her decision. Mm. I thought she
Parents,
was actually.
So
I thought she was going to vote to Remain.
Does she not think about her daughter?
Well, each to their own. And she explained her reasons to me when I got home, and I'm someone who sees very much both sides of the spectrum, and I can't actually really have much of an opinion because I didn't vote.
And very honest of you, Kenna.
Yeah, I normally would do in situations like this, but I shouldn't really say much about it because I didn't vote, so how can I have too much of an opinion on it? Okay. But I'm not worried at all now. I try and embrace change.
Ooh. Catherine?
Well, I was also a big question mark the whole way through. Mm-hmm. We've in the Lincolnshire show, they had a little poll going on, and I put my counter in the question mark. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to sit here and say I'm worried. Like, I don't want to lose sleep over it. But I'm not happy with the repercussions that I've been seeing on Facebook. I discussed it with both of you yesterday. But I'm just hoping, like I said, the world is still here, the sun is still shining, that, like, we are alive. Hopefully we can unite and deal with what's to come in the next few years. That's my point of view on it. It's a bit la-di-da, but,
well,
you know.
Lots of vitriol around. Because, I mean, I was of the opinion that, effectively, anybody over 40, we should have actually been shot, Bill, quite honestly, and just taken out and moved. Thank you very much.
Come on, are we actually sure that Britain is going to leave the EU? I think it's odds on we're going to stay. I mean, the great British public...
Is this another prediction, Bill?
The great unwashed have said we... Or, you know, 52% have said we should leave. But then we've got three-quarters of the MPs, 500 of them, saying we want to stay. And I don't reckon the MPs are going to vote to go.
A quote from Bill Coles' Facebook page, June 24th. Over the last few days, I may perhaps have given the erroneous impression that I was some sort of soothsayer who could predict the political future. Now it turns out that I have feet of clay like all the rest. Ho-hum, that's punditry for you.
Punditry for you is also blabbing on. We don't shut up just because we got it wrong once.
Of course not. You know. Which is why I was particularly interested in terms of, again, a little shameless plug for your wonderful book, Dave Cameron's School Days.
Oh, yes, cracker. In which Dave Cameron gets to do battle with his schoolboy nemesis, a bloke called Boris Johnson.
Well, I mean, if ever there was a kind of wonderful way in which the Tory party can actually, you know, promote a resurgence of the fantastic Dave Cameron School Days, if only for the thrashing of the dunces, it's marvellous. Genius stuff. Okie dokie. Catherine, any questions you want to put to Bill about life, the universe, anything, really. His choir, his choral stuff, that was very exciting last week. It's put to one side in the sort of political shenanigans that we've actually got there. Still to come, Duncan Goose, of course, founder of the One brand, and basically how global water can make a huge difference. Obviously it can, fairly self-evident statement there, but how his particular product makes it even better, a life-changing difference. Anyway, over to you.
Well, what are you going to do in the next years? What is your opinion?
What are you going to do, Bill?
No, I mean, about the referendum, what do you think? Are we going to...
Do you have lots more?
Are you going to cope? Are we going to be okay?
Is Scotland? Who knows what Nicola Sturgeon has in mind?
Oh, yeah, of course. Brits are a pretty doughty lot. They're going to be take whatever happens on the chin. But, I mean, it's all in flux, particularly the Labour Party. I could easily split. But, as I say, I don't reckon... Well, I mean, I am a pundit, you know, so I obviously know nothing. But that's like saying
Alan Shearer doesn't know of what he speaks when he actually says it's the worst English performance he's ever seen. You can tell it's still hurting.
Right. Well, I can't see 500 MPs voting to leave
the gravy train
when their entire gut instinct is telling them to stay. Mm-hmm.
Mind you, lemmings. Do they have a similar debate? You know, just before they hurl themselves over the cliff. You know, all those mass lemmings saying, you know, does anybody actually turn around and say, is this the only way forward?
No, well, the lemming leader, Jeremy Corbyn, says, No, this is the way, my way. Let's all, come on, lads, follow me. And, you know, you still get a few lemmings following him over. But you also get a lot of lemmings who say, no, I don't fancy it.
Yeah. Kenna. Thoughts from yourself.
Bill, how did the news affect people in Edinburgh? What was going off there around the town?
Yeah, what is going off in Edinburgh, Bill?
Is it all kicking off?
They are all seething at the prospect of being dragged out of the EU by these...
Sassenachs, I think. Sassenachs is the official line you're looking for in most cases.
Yeah, right. That's entirely the right word. Thank you, Alex, as always. Yeah, the Edinburgh, Glasgow, Dundee, all these SNP heartlands, they are not at all happy. And then you have Nicola Sturgeon going over to the EU to talk to Tusk, the head of the EU, and he says, sorry, not today, because, of course, the EU does not want to encourage...
mix and match, exactly.
No, exactly.
Yeah, you know, mix and match. I mean, otherwise you're into the Basque separatists, presumably, and that's another line entirely.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, curious enough, next week our correspondent from Gibraltar, equally upset, Gabriella Peralta, will be sharing her thoughts on that. She's currently holidaying in Barcelona. Never mind, Gabriella, it'll be okay.
You'll be able to get a limerick out of her name, won't you?
Gabriella Peralta, the girl from Gibraltar. Exactly. It's exactly. The water in Gibraltar, it don't taste like what it ought to, is another sort of line we could possibly work for. But, you know, it works. That's the important thing. In a kind of magic routine. In fact, I'm sure we actually have an ident here. Funnily enough, we haven't written the official ident for Bill Coles as yet, but when Gabriella returns to the show, hers goes like this.
Live from Gibraltar. With or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Except next week it'll be this time and she'll be on the afternoon slot.
Who's her faithful friend Frodo?
It's a little doggy.
Okay.
Could have been a hobbit, but no, it's
a
doggy.
Okay.
Oh, somebody else. Could have been a sidekick. Could have been an accomplice. She works for, you know, Gibraltarian broadcasting services. But no, we believe it's her doggy. It makes sounds like a doggy. That's not too sort of awkward a phrase to actually sort of work through at this particular time. It's 6:15 on Wednesday, June the 29th, 2016, and we're still smiling. Kenna, any other sort of thoughts that you've got to share with Bill? Or would you be interested in possibly tomorrow morning be passing over Mr. Two-Bomb, one of the Bill Coles' fantastic epic books, probably my personal favourite, actually.
Oh, yeah, sounds interesting.
Well, Alex, is that really your favourite book ever?
Yeah,
of every book ever written. I am honest of
your selection, Bill, definitely. And it's probably in the top 50 of best books ever. Yeah, it's really good. Really sort of touches base, but again, you know, work our way through that whole process. Anyway, back to you, Kenna.
What is your favourite book, Bill?
Of all time.
Yes.
I love.
Should be the Maastricht Treaty.
Christmas Carol is a cracking book. Read that in 3 or 4 hours.
Catherine will like that. Yes.
What else do I... I've three men in a boat I've been going back to
oh.
a bit.
Oh, Gerard.
I've had a number of friends with 40th and 50th birthdays, and I've been giving them copies of Three Men in a Boat, which you can get first editions pretty cheap for just 15 quid off Aid Books. And so I've been snapping up these first editions, and this is what I give to my friends, because most people haven't read it since their youth. But it's a cracker.
Indeed, Jerome K. Jerome, quite literally a boat and three masculine people in there.
And a dog.
And a dog, exactly. And much beloved, I believe, of Tim Rice and Mike Reed. You can look them up on YouTube, ladies. They'll be there somewhere. A bit like Dick Emery, earlier correspondence was talking about. Certain sort of folk who we've forgotten all references to. Ooh, you are awful, but I like you. A classic Dick Emery line. Known in many ways for a whole range of characters. And I believe also Scottish, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, was he Scottish? No, Stanley Baxter.
I don't think he was Scottish. He had that character, he had Gaylord.
Exactly. It was just a whole new time of political incorrect experiences.
I'm afraid if you're under 40 years old, Alex, no one will have ever heard of Dick Emery. Mm. And you are awful, but I do like you. It's lost on them.
But that's what YouTube's for, you know. Somehow you can still survive and thrive on that. As, of course, this year, 50 years of the Monkees. We've got one, probably two tracks.
Right.
And they're in the National Billboard Top 40. The latest album, which has been released, obviously, without, sadly, Davy Jones, but Mickey DeLenz and Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith are back with a really cracking album. Actually, it's well worth checking out. It's called the Monkees' Good Times. To be followed.
Excellent. Is that new stuff, or is it just
actually
their old
it is
stuff
new
repackaged?
Stuff? In fact, Bill, would you like to listen to one of the new numbers that has been recorded, featuring such composers as Paul Weller, as Andy Partridge from XTC, as a whole range of fine folk? Would you like to hear the voice of Mickey DeLenz with the latest Monkees track? I mean, I was going to do a little reprise of Raivita, which of course we'll hear again as our official sort of summer sound, as selected, of course, by the Cole family and friends, but would you like to hear a little snip of the...
I can't think of anything I'd like more, Alex.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll give you a choice. Would you like She Makes Me Laugh, or alternatively, the other option that we're providing for you is all to do with summer. Actually, I think, should we go with the summer one? I mean, that's
okay, summer sounds good, yeah.
Summer sounds good. I'm actually...
She Makes Me Laugh.
Oh, you still got that Manchester accent in there, even if you've never been to Manchester, various other things. It's You Bring the Summer, it's the Monkees, it's Siren 107.3 FM, it's 11 minutes to 6 p.m. You've been watching for You Bring the Summer, Kenna.
Interesting, I like it. Very different, yeah.
Good, brand new Monkees music 50 years after they were first put together as the Prefab Four, as some critics unkindly referred them to. Catherine?
I loved it. I love animation and things like that, so I found it really interesting.
Were you familiar with the group The Monkees?
Yes, my dad listens to Mind Games.
Steve there.
I'm pretty sure.
But ultimately, I know Mickey DeLenz, Peter Torkin, Mike Nesmith, and even David Jones from On High will be keen to find out what did Bill Coles, political pundit and ace writer, make of Here Comes the Summer.
Can we have Davey back, please?
Well, there is...
I'm not sure Davey would be that happy listening from the clouds.
Okay. We'll do our best. But actually, the album does include a special track which they managed to unearth, which does feature some Davey Jones vocals on as well.
They dug some old stuff up, did they?
But you bring the summer again, mostly new stuff, and great news, as I say, in the Billboard Top 40. So well done. Not that popularity is everything, but it's nice to see that the magic is still there. So much as it is with yourself, William, of course, because that's the important thing. You know, we like to feel Bill Coles, here comes, she brings the summer, and so on. Catherine.
Yeah, it's nice. Charming.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to put those last two questions to Bill, please?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, can we pep up reasonably, though? Why can't we? I've had a fantastic link. I'm always asked if it's reasonable. No, it's terrific. It's always terrific with Saren. Could turn that into a song, actually, couldn't you?
You could indeed. Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll have She Makes Me Laugh, another sort of official video, and then later on, it'll probably go to Lily Oliver. Next question, please.
So will you be joining us again?
I would bite your hand off at the opportunity. Please.
Next week, of course, we should in the studio have Professor Jason Whittaker.
What is Professor James Whittaker's claim to fame?
Jason Whittaker is indeed a William Blake scholar and indeed former computer editor, editor of computer magazines, a variety of other things, and indeed the head of the School of English and Journalism at the University of Lincoln.
Oh, right. I better suck up to him then.
Please, bring out the Rivita. The winner, of course, of last week's scenario, and indeed Silent Nights, moving through in her own mystical, wondrous way, or as we like to say, New Delhi, taking over the planet. Happy trails, Bill Coles. Happy trails.
Thanks so much.
Do it, do it.